share communion this morning. And I'm just struck by when Jesus was in the room with the disciples the night before. You know, he knew what was coming. He was about to go to the cross. But there was victory in his hand at that moment. Was his name the most powerful in the universe at that time? Yeah, it was. Did anybody on earth believe it? A few guys that had gotten healed. Did the disciples believe it when he was on the cross? No. But Jesus knew something. He knows that mercy triumphs. He knows that where sin is, grace abounds. And I hate to bring this into the thing, but I spent last night watching LSU and Alabama, of course, and I'm an LSU guy. And, you know, we thought we had victory in hand. And my brother's from Alabama, and he was at the game, and he was saying, man, we thought we were dead. But Alabama ended up winning, and there's times in our lives that we're not sure that his name is the most powerful. But when Jesus sat in front of his disciples that night before he broke the bread, he knew victory was in hand. And so I just encourage us today that there's times, yeah, I'm there a lot to myself. I don't see that. I don't know that. But we just have to keep reminding ourselves. He overcomes. Love overcomes everything. Mercy triumphs over everything. Even when we give mercy in our day-to-day life and it just falls flat on its face, or we love someone and no love is returned, it triumphs. It works. It overcomes. Jesus knew that when he was breaking the bread. So when we break the bread today, let's kind of remember that.
Go ahead and find a place to have communion with somebody around you. The closer the better. If you can find somebody that you don't know, that would be good also, or that you don't know that well, that would be good also. And team, you guys can go down. Lee's going to stay and play piano. Picture here, Lee spoke about Jesus and his disciples, and then we have a picture of Paul in 1 Corinthians with his church, his gathering, okay? But I want us to get a picture of this gathering this morning. When you guys are done pouring, I want you to get a picture of this gathering. Now our gathering's a little bit diverse, but I want you to picture a church, a movement that's just starting. And you have a Pharisee who's grown up all of his life in Judaism next to a priestess from a sex cult in Corinth. And they come together and they're having communion together because they're in church together. They would have never spoken to each other. They would have never been around each other. It would have been for him to break the law to eat with her or him. So you have that diverse group. And so did they all come and agree on everything? Just one thing, Jesus. Think about that. You're in Rome, so you have nationalities from literally all over the known world. Rome was famous for capturing people, bringing the smartest and brightest back into their land, or also bringing in their slaves. So you had slaves and slave owners in communion, in this picture of communion. That's amazing. You had the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor in this communion. You had those that slept not any better than a horse in a stall, and you had people from palatial places. That's an amazing picture. You had temple workers that worked in the Jewish temple, and you had temple workers that worked in the temples of false gods that did all sorts of odd sacrifices and believed all different things. You probably, even in this picture, have people that walked with Jesus 30 or so years before. And then you have people that never heard of Jesus, the figure of Jesus, the historical Jesus, the physical Jesus that walked the earth. But they met Him spiritually, and it changed their life. And you probably have people in this church who Paul either imprisoned 30 years or so before, or had their parents or their family members jailed. Because remember, Paul was the one who was going after Christians, chaining them up, trying to get the church closed down because of Jesus. So you have all of these things, and all in the same mix. And they should have never got along. They should have never believed together. They should have never worshipped together. They should have done what we're doing and taken sides as to who's really right in the political environment. Right? So what they did, they come together on one thing, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Literally, Jesus alone. Not just dropping their differences, but deciding that in the light of eternity, in the light of the promise of our land in heaven, today matters not at all. Of course, we also have in this picture, this is a corrective picture that we have in the middle of 1 Corinthians, is you have the wealthy people coming in, and they're bringing, they had love feast or agape feast together as part of their communion, and they would come in, and the poor would come in and have nothing to eat, and have had nothing to eat on their way in. And the rich would come in, and they would have like a whole feast. They would have bottles of wine, they would be drinking, and they would get so full and drunk that it would be a distraction to the service, and yet not offer any to the others in the church. So you have all of this going on, and it all comes together just because of Jesus. And it doesn't come together because of a historical Jesus or a logical Jesus. It comes together because of an experience with the person, the entity of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all. And so we long for that experience again, and we'll have that again. And we need to look back to our salvation, that day of our salvation, and rejoice and be happy and return to that joy of what He's done. And so when we come to communion and we examine ourselves, as Paul also says in some of these chapters right here, is we examine ourselves not according to it, have I been good? Have I sinned? Have I not sinned? Have I done what's right? Have I been obedient? Have I read my Bible? Have I prayed? Have I voted correctly? Have I lived morally? Have I kept my words clean? None of that. It's examine yourself based upon the work of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's really pretty foolish, Paul also says. It's pretty amazing. It's ridiculous. It's scandalous. It doesn't make any sense. It's the wealthiest person you know going down and finding the prostitute to bring her into the house and to say, I'm going to love you forever no matter what you do. And if you leave me, I'm going to go back and look. I'm going to go look for you. And I'm going to find you. And I'm going to ask you to come back over and over and over again. It's that scandalous. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on what we say. It's not based on how we live. It's based on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's based on that relationship. And there's so much distraction against that. There's so much distraction, and even in scriptures, we talk and argue and try to figure out scripture and try to be smart and try to live right. And it's that picture of over here at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, it's a single tree. The fruit of knowledge, the good and evil, is the same fruit. So we think that eating good is better than eating evil, but it's the same fruit, the same source, which is our own self. Instead of going over here and eating from the tree of life, the tree that gives life, from the one who is life, those are really the two choices. The two choices aren't good or evil. The two choices are the knowledge of good and evil, of us taking control, and Jesus. So when we take communion this morning, we're saying, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. No matter how I've not chosen Him, or thought I've chosen Him, or no matter what's going on this morning, in remembrance of Him, not just His teachings, not just His life, but of Him and His presence and His reality, on that, I want to remember that. I want to partake of that. Okay? So go ahead and if you haven't, pour yourself some communion. I love what Stevie said. Stevie said at the beginning when he prayed, thank you, God, that you have gathered this family together again. I love that picture. I love that picture. Because we're not going to go into eternity as a church. We're going to go into eternity as a family. And so to declare that and to be that way and to think that way and to take care of one another like brothers and sisters is really important. So so we have the family together and we're remembering Jesus, that most beautiful name, not just because it sounds good or because we sing about Him, but it's like the beautiful name that's just the perfect name. The perfect in proportion, the perfect in how all of Jesus' life is perfect from beginning of time till when He came down on earth, till when He left earth, and then He came back down into hearts, and how we'll see Him in heaven. The whole thing is perfect. But that life that was perfect and was sacrificed, and so we have symbolic elements in the blood and the body. And so we take that today, but I want us to get like that picture of a reality of it happening 2,000 years ago, and it's based on an event, but it's also us remembering Him in us and Him through us. Remember the scripture I've been using about, you know, our work, our good work is to believe, is to put our energy towards faith, towards confidence in God, is us right here, is to really believe, about what He's done, that He's going to finish the good work He started, that your entire family will come to serve Him and follow Him, that there's good things ahead of you. Jim used the phrase that fear is a confidence in all the worst of things and faith is a confidence in all of God's best things. It's that confidence this morning. As we partake of something that was super common in Jesus' times. Bread was a staple. Wine was a staple. It's just that's what you had sometimes every single meal. Bread definitely. Wine mostly. That's what you drank. And so we have that Jesus, the commonness of Jesus is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's the commonness of the air we breathe that we bring in. It's that available to us. It's that there for us. So just bow your heads for a moment and just receive from the Lord. Just receive. Just receive this morning. Just receive. Begin to believe before you eat and drink. Before you take, before you partake, remember. Remember what He's done. Remember what He's doing. Remember the promises that He has for you for tomorrow. Remember the promises He has for you for eternity. Remember Him. Remember His goodness towards you, His peace towards you, His kindness. He's always moving something for you to become closer to Him. He's always doing something to have your heart cry answered, your life healed. Just remember. Remember the day of your salvation when you recognized that you were in need, in desperate need of a Savior. And He saved you. And He's continued to rescue your life and will continue into eternity. Just remember that. And then as you remember, just as you would describe to somebody, Jesus came into my heart, see Him residing in you. Now that's amazing. He's residing in you. And as you partake of Him, it's a reminder that you've already partaken of Him. Fully, completely, spiritually and eternally, you've partaken of Him, and you haven't walked away when He says, "I want you to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood," like so many did when He walked the earth. You said, "I want to keep partaking. I want to keep communing with you. I want you to have lordship and dominion over every part of me, every part of my physical life, every part of my my emotions, my intellect, my will, and how I choose. I want you to rule over that. Just remember Him and His goodness towards you. In verse 23, it says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Go ahead and break the bread and take that and just savor it and just let it, just as you chew it, just let it enter you. And remember that He has, His presence is in you. It's around you. It's tangible. It's there. It's seeking, literally, to manifest itself in you and through you. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." And do that this morning. And then once again, as you drink, just think about His life's blood, the transfusion that you get, the infilling that you get, not from juice and wine or bread and a cracker, but from Him. That's the promised life. That's the blessed life. That's the fullness of Him living in you, changing you, living through you. Not you working really, really hard. Not you examining yourself all the time to see if you're right or wrong, good or bad, wicked or righteous. But relying and resting in Him and His goodness. Relying and resting in Him and His work. So, Father, we thank You for that. God, rise up by the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit. Rise up our confidence in who You are and who You want to be in and through us. Rise up our confidence about that incorruptible, indestructible seed that was planted upon our rescue, was planted upon our salvation. And let that take root and produce fruit and produce life and life more abundantly around us, in us, and around us to others. Let us recognize and partake and receive Your blessing and Your fullness so that we can give that out. Amen.